Well, you know, you rarely get a privilege, I guess maybe rarely, but it is a great privilege to be able to introduce your own daughter to teach. What a blessing that is. Oh, stop, it's gonna be more difficult. But when my daughter was born, I was speechless, like Zacharias. It didn't last quite as long as Zacharias did, I'm thankful for that. But we hadn't named Erin. We had all these different names in mind, and she was born and we're like, you know, whatever that name was, that's not it. So she didn't have a name for a little while. And then we decided to call her Erin, and the word Erin means peace. And she's lived up to that name that we gave her. It's too bad we named my son Ahab. No, not true, not true. It does matter what you name your kids. But anyway, one thing about Erin, though, she's going to teach on prayer. And one thing I have to say about Erin is she goes to God for everything. Ask her sometime about sandwiches and other things that just God supplies her with as soon as she needs them. So she's going to share with us on prayer, but before she does, we're going to sing a little song, another college song, okay? It's number 30 in your songbooks, please. Number 30. If you'd stand to sing number 30 every moment of the day. Number 30. Number 30.
Every moment of the day, my Father cares for me. Every moment of the day, my heart from fear is free. He who sees the sparrow fall will hear my call. Every moment of the day, God watches over me.
All right, come on up, Erin.
You can sit down. Hey, everybody. Thanks for that introduction, Dad. Wouldn't be here if it weren't for him in many ways than one. So I'm going to teach on one of the most powerful and life-changing things that we can do as believers, and that is prayer. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And this is pretty cool because Dean actually went through kind of the context of this. God, when he sent his son and raised him up from the dead, made this relationship available for us to have with him. We have that fellowship available. And that's the context of Acts chapter 2. So in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So the context of this is that God wanted a family, and God did all of this work in the Old Testament to get that family. Jesus Christ came, he died, God raised him from the dead, and then the day of Pentecost happened. And that was when people got Holy Spirit for the first time. They finally had that connection again to God. They finally had that relationship, that fellowship available to them. And what did they do? It says that they continued steadfastly in doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And prayer is our communication with God. When you think of any relationship that you have with somebody, so like you guys, some of you guys I don't know, but it's available for me to have a relationship with you. But it's like, okay, if I look at you, I don't know everything about you just by looking at you. I don't develop that relationship just by looking at you. And it's the same thing with God. Like Dean said it, we have to take hold of that. We have to own that fellowship. And one way to do that is by prayer. That's our communication with him. So it says, they continued steadfastly. That phrase, Jerry actually went over it a little bit last night, but that can be translated, it's devoted, to be devoted or constant to one, to give unremitting care to a thing, to continue all the time in a place, to persevere and not to faint, to be in constant readiness for one, to wait on constantly. And what Jerry said last night was to adhere to like a strong glue. So they didn't just pray at fellowships. Like they didn't just say like, okay, God, I need this and this and this. They were devoted. They were constant in prayer. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 10 to see one of the other uses of this word. But prayer is our response to God. He already did all of this stuff for us. He already made this relationship available, and our response is prayer. He started the conversation, and we're just continuing it by praying. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 7, this is talking about the same guy that Dean mentioned, actually, Cornelius. It says, "And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually." And that phrase there, waited on him continually, that is the same phrase that's used in Acts 2 where it says continued steadfastly. So they were devoted to him. They waited on him constantly. Thank you, Brian. That is an example of a servant that would wait on their master. But in the Bible times, they would have these servants, and the servants would always be looking at their master. They'd always be watching. They'd be devoted to watching. And when their master gave some sort of a signal, it could be really subtle, then the servants would respond immediately, and they would do whatever the master needed. In this case, I needed a coaster, except there's already another coaster, but it's fine. But that is how we are to be with prayer. It's an instant response. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And some of you might not have seen the signal if you weren't looking, but that's because you weren't waiting on me constantly. Brian was. He was watching. I told him to, and he did it. He was waiting for that signal. And that's how we're to be in life. We respond to things that happen by prayer, and it's an instant thing. In Romans 12, verse 12. Oh, I'm still in Acts. That's not going to help me. Romans 12, 12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." That continuing instant is that same phrase, that same Greek word, to continue instantly, to continue steadfastly. And the first part of it is to have that immediate response. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. So what are we responding to? Well, first of all, we're responding to what God already did for us. And then in 1 Peter 5, we'll see that this is something that we can do all the time. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." All your care. Care is just a care, a concern, a distracting thought, just something that you think about that might distract you. Some people, or sometimes it's translated as anxious. But every time you care about something, you respond in prayer. That's what God wants from us. That's why he set up this relationship. That's that full sharing. We share fully with God. We share everything we're thinking about, everything we care about. That's what you do with your closest friends. Well, God can be your closest friend. That's how it should be. And it doesn't always have to be a huge deal either. It's just like the little things that might bother you or just something you happen to, that just pops up in your mind. Because that might be God working in you. He might be showing you what to pray for. He might just give you an idea. And if you're in the habit of responding instantly by prayer, you pray about it and then you see the results. That's how God works in you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. And that word careful is the adjective version of that word care that we just read. Be careful, be anxious, be full of care for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So instead of having these distracting thoughts pile up in your head, give them to God in everything. And it says by prayer and supplication. Prayer is just prayer. It's just talking to God. And supplication is specific requests. So if I say, God, I'm hungry, that's a prayer. I'm not asking for something. I'm just telling God, God, I'm hungry. Or if I say, God, I'm going to get a rental car because my insurance is paying for a rental while I get my car fixed. And I just would really like them to give me a car that I will enjoy. That's a specific request. That's supplication. Are either of those dire situations? No. They're just things that I cared about, so I prayed about them. And as my dad mentioned, sometimes I get sandwiches. So I've definitely said, God, I'm hungry, and then somebody will come into my office and say, oh, there's extra sandwiches from this meeting. Do you want one? And I'll say, yeah. And then sometimes I'll pray about getting a nice rental car that I like. I go there and they don't have any rental cars. And then somebody came in to return a car. And so the lady goes to me, oh, well, is a Mustang okay? And I said, yes, that'll work. And then I get to drive a brand new Mustang convertible for a month. And that's not because I had a need. Like, that's just something God did for me. And I asked him. And so he responded. And that's what your lives can be like. That's what it's supposed to be. That's that full sharing. You go to God with everything. And why? Not so you can drive Mustangs around. It's because when you go to God with the little things like that, that becomes a habit. That builds your believing. That builds your trust in God and that relationship that you have. So when something big comes up, or when you have to pray for a while about something, it's easy for you. It's a habit. It's what you have trained yourself to do. So turn to Acts chapter 12, and we're going to look at an example of that. But it's just a lifestyle. It's going to God instantly. It becomes your reaction. And then the second part of that definition is the perseverance part. It's you keep doing it over and over again until you see the deliverance. So in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So there was a believer that was killed, and then they took another believer prisoner. That's a pretty dire situation. That's a pretty big deal. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The reaction of these believers in the first century church was to pray without ceasing. They persevered. They kept doing it until they saw the deliverance. And you can read how God sent an angel and got Peter out of prison. And then if you go down to verse 11, it says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.'" Prayer goes beyond people's expectations. It doesn't matter what people think of your situation. It doesn't matter what people expect. Prayer goes beyond that. And then in verse 12, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, 'Thou art mad.' But she constantly affirmed that it was so. Then said they, 'It is his angel.'" So these people were praying and praying, and then this girl comes in, and they just want to keep focused on praying, and they're like, "Get out of here," and they didn't even notice that, like, their prayer was answered. But in verse 16, "But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." So they got to see the result of their perseverance in prayer. And we've done that too. Like, you guys might have heard about this huge earthquake that happened in Ecuador. Well, when we heard about that, we prayed. And then Bob sent us specific things that we could pray for, like specific requests, supplications. And we prayed about that. And then he sent us emails saying those things got taken care of. And one of the things that we prayed for was that the believers who wanted to be here could come here to the Advance. And here they are. This is your answered prayers right here. And that's just one example, but that's something we can fight for. We can fight for each other in prayer. And like Jesse taught, that's a way to give to people. You see needs, and then you pray for them. That's your instant response. It's not just things in your own life. It's just things that you see in other people's lives. And you can be looking for that, like a servant looking to their master. You just look for ways that you can help people, things that you can pray for. And then you persevere and you stick with that. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Prayer is something that brings people together. Prayer crosses distances. And it's cool that Jesse shared that section in Philippians, because I was actually going to share that too, just to show Paul's heart for people and how he prayed for them constantly. That's something that we can do for each other. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." He was praying for these people to grow with God, to know the word, and to walk with God. That's something that we can pray for all the time, for each other and for ourselves. And if we continue steadfastly in that, then we're going to see it happen. It's available. It's something Paul prayed for, and it's something they saw in the first century church. And it's something that we can do too. And just being here today at this Advance is a result of prayers like that. Prayers of these leaders, of all of you guys praying for this stuff. We would not be here if there weren't prayer involved. There's a lot of planning that goes into this, but a lot of it is prayer. And I know that each one of you in here individually was prayed for before this started by a bunch of people. And we need to keep doing that and keep seeing more and more people at these things, seeing people grow and seeing people move the word. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That word continue is that same word, continue steadfastly. Verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He was asking them to pray for God to give them opportunities to speak the mystery, to speak the word. One other thing we can pray for is the move of the word. We can, you see that up there, the world? That the word can move over the world. That's available. That's something that could actually happen. And we need to pray in order for that to happen. Prayer leads to results, and we just continue and keep praying and keep having that vision. This is my word over the world necklace. It's a little globe, and it reminds me to pray for that. So that's available. It really depends on what you care about, what you want to see in your life. Do you want to see deliverance in your own life? Do you want to see other people be delivered? Do you want to see signs, miracles, and wonders, and the word over the world? That's all stuff that you can pray about. That's all stuff that's available in the word. And we just need to continue steadfastly in that. Let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And that's the key here, the believing part. Praying is not about just repeating things to God. It's not about just saying the things that other people say at fellowship. It's believing. It's believing that you're talking to someone who has power and who can actually do the things that you're praying for. And then when you pray, you can have that joy and that peace in believing. You can just expect God to work and then forget about it. And that's why you don't have to be filled with care and anxiety, because you give it up to God and you just leave it there. And then God takes care of it and you get the results. And that can be our lifestyle. That, I mean, it already is our lifestyle, but we can keep doing that. We can continue doing that. So turn back to Acts chapter 2 to close. And this is what the believers in the first century church did. This was their lifestyle, and that's why they saw so many great things, because they expected it. They believed. They prayed. They had that relationship with God going. They had the vertical thing where they prayed and had that relation, that personal relationship with God, and then they had the horizontal thing where they would give and pray for other people and see God do things. And then, so in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We can do that stuff too. If we really want to live lives that are more than abundant, and we really want to see the word move over the world, then we need to continue steadfastly in prayer. And that's what I wanted to share.